Happy Friday, Saskatchewan. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. All request Friday. Send in the tunes. You'll be pumping on the deck to this weekend while you're barbecuing and enjoying some sunshine. 26 is a high tomorrow. Might be a little rainy at times this weekend.
We got some showers in forecast, right, through the weekend?
But
looking okay.
During the day, it might be some sunny skies and high temperatures, and then maybe some storm systems moving into the afternoon. So all request Friday, you can send us a text 1-877-332-8255, as we do every Friday on the tunes you want to hear on the Green Zone. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines, and last night, Seth Jarvis.
What a game.
Sends Carolina and his buddies into a frenzy.
Back up top, it's Gostis Barrett. Send it across. Game over! Seth Jarvis wins it in overtime!
The video of those broadcasters, that's kind of frightening. They're like,
well, they're not small dudes either, right? Like, they're bigger individuals, and they beat each other up.
Yeah.
That looks like a workout.
What are we doing? Overtime winner in game number two tied the series 1-1.
I wonder if Drew and Randy do that.
I highly doubt it.
Let the emotion get a
Hurricanes 4, Golden Knights 3. That third period was ridiculous.
That's one of the best third periods I've seen this year.
It's 2-0. Carolina scores 2. Then there's the goal or no goal. The challenge from John Tortorella. They say no goal. So that puts Carolina on a power play. They score to make it 3-2. Mark Stone scores with the net empty late in the third period to send it to overtime. And then Seth Jarvis scores just his fourth goal of the playoffs on the power play in overtime, tying the series one game apiece. Also in that game, and I know a lot of people in Saskatchewan, had a couple of people around the office already ask, what is the condition of Davidson Saskatchewan's Braden McNabb? The defenseman for the Golden Knights took a slap shot that was going almost 90 miles an hour.
Off the beak.
Right. It looked like at his nose, top mouth, just right there. And he was looking straight on at the puck. Like it hit him.
So he got
right
on the on the plane this morning, right? They usually sleep over now. They don't get on the plane right away. So we know that. So, but they did go directly to the hospital. We'll keep an eye on whether or not he's going to make that lineup.
So we'll keep you up to date for Braden McNabb if we see anything this afternoon. That looked awful last night.
We'll stick with the NHL. The Montreal Canadiens double dip on the NHL awards.
Nick Suzuki, wrap try. Suzuki, a step, Caulfield, and Richard, score! Magic at the Bell Center!
So Nick gets the Selkie for the top defenseman in the NHL. Suzuki beating out Tampa Bay's
defensive forward.
And Colorado's Brock Nelson for the award with the 151 first place votes. He definitely, there was a lot of conversation about how well he plays on that side of the puck. We'll just go over some numbers for NHL or for Montreal Canadiens. Bob Gainey has won it 4 times. Carboneau won it 3 times. And Cole Caulfield takes home the Lady Bing, the trophy no one wants in the NHL. Most sportsman-like player in the league. He edged out the Kings, Kopitar, and the Senators, Sanderson, capturing 45 first place.
Why don't you want the Lady Bing trophy?
It's hockey.
So?
It's like an insult. You don't want the Lady Bing.
For the most sportsman-like player.
No. Keep it. Wouldn't even put that up. Wouldn't even put that next to my most improved trophies.
You don't think people would want to win the Lady Bing?
No.
Because they're good people.
I'd be willing to bet that he went, oh, didn't want that one. Going to be a little meaner next year.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Well, if you're the type of player where you're a good guy.
Oh, guaranteed he went, ah. Didn't want that phone call.
Yeah, I guess. Why would you want to be known as nice and sportsmanlike?
It's hockey.
Let that be a lesson for you kids. To heck with the Lady Bing. Be a jack wagon.
That's the NHL.
Anze Kopitar. These are good hockey players.
Doesn't mean
you're
not
nominated if
Bing.
You're garbage.
Doesn't mean you. No.
These are good hockey players.
They're good hockey players. I'm not saying he's not a good hockey player. I'm saying he doesn't want the nice guy award.
Maybe I'm wrong. I'll ask Drew about it. The Canadian Football League. So the hockey game last night went to overtime. So did the CFL opener.
As here we are in overtime and a chance to do the same on opening night 2026. Zima puts it down. Ball game. Alouettes.
Yes, just like last year in the East Final. Maltos Diaz hit a walk-off field goal for the Alouettes in Hamilton to beat the Tiger Cats 30-27, the final score in overtime. And the Alouettes were actually down 24-10 in the third quarter. I thought my Al's pick was looking pretty precarious right there. Then Robert Kennedy III, and no relation to Robert Kennedy Jr., by the way.
Nicknamed Tylenol.
Flipped the game with the interception for a touchdown, and then Davis Alexander hit Tyson Philpott for the tying touchdown. Tonight in the CFL, the Calgary Stampeders host the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and then tomorrow to wrap up week one, it's the Elks against the Ottawa Redblacks.
Redblacks! By the way, the Jays, they get a win. They snap a four-game losing streak.
And it's hit on the ground, over the mound into center field. Okamoto scores, getting the wave behind him, McAdoo, who will speed home. A two-run single for Miles Straw. Line drive by Straw. That's down for a base hit. Vladdy gets the wave as Straw drives in his third of the night.
So you heard that Straw hits two, gets three ribbies. Vladdy got three hits, scored twice in the win. The Blue Jays continue to be in the mix in that wild card conversation, but they got to get on their horse here soon. Trey Savage is on the hill for the Jays as they begin a weekend set against Baltimore. They're back at home at Rogers Center. And a quick note about Aaron Judge and the Yankees. He left the game the other day. He's out long term. He's got an issue with a rib cage fracture, stress fracture. So 4 to 6 weeks, you kind of need that part of your body when you're swinging a baseball.
They're reevaluating in 4 to 6 weeks. It's going to be out longer than that.
Oh, you think so?
They're just happy that he's not going to be out. Well, he might be out for the season, but they're thinking he will return at some point. That's good news for the Blue Jays, though. Seven games back of the
not
Yankees
horrible
right now. I don't know what the Yankees look like without Aaron Judge in the lineup. Meanwhile, NBA final game two goes tonight.
Brunson on the drive, spins underneath, puts it up, puts it in. Jalen Brunson does it again. Goes right at Wembanyama, blocked by Wemby. Castle picks it up, comes the other way. Wembanyama, three-pointer, got it.
Yes, the Spurs and the Knicks in San Antonio, 6:30 start time. Knicks up 1-0 in the series. Is this a must-win for the Spurs? No team, I love this stat, no team has ever won the NBA Finals after losing the first two games at home. Do you want to know how many times that's happened in the NBA Finals? Two times. That's crazy. It's only happened twice where the road team took the first two games.
That is interesting.
By the way, if they in a split,
there's some crazy stats like that with the NBA Finals.
So 28-12 all time is the home team if they split the first two. The Knicks are looking to join the elite of the second longest playoff win streak. They're at 12 entering tonight's game, looking for the 13th straight win. The record is 15 straight by the Golden State Warriors in the 2016 playoffs. Meanwhile, San Antonio has been able to bounce back a few times. They have only lost consecutive games in this postseason once. They are 5-1 following a loss, and Wembanyama has been impressive in those rebound games, averaging 27 points.
And he didn't have the greatest night in that game one of the finals either.
No, he did not. His shooting was pretty ice cold. So game two goes tonight in San Antonio in the NBA final. Coming up next, do you know what's a week away? The World Cup of Soccer. Yes, the FIFA World Cup in Canada, the United States, and Mexico. We're asking you today.
Do you
how
care?
Interested are you in the World Cup? Like, how much are you going to consume? I know you're going to consume a little bit. The Canadian games, you're just worried about Canada? Or are you all in? Are your chips all in? You can't wait for next week to see one of the biggest global events be co-hosted by our country for the first time. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I had a feeling this was coming because I ran into Clayton last night.
At Mosaic in Regina?
Yeah. And he was informing me the type of Green Zone listener that he is. So he's a bit of a disturber. I left off the first part of that expression. So, not surprised.
I like the cut of his jib.
Clayton's a good guy.
There you have it.
Horrible taste in music.
Clayton wanted Rush. Bob also wanted to hear Rush as well today on All Requests Friday. That's two already in for Rush.
Well,
on this Friday afternoon.
I can excuse it. Sounds like head injury issues.
1-877-332-8255. Keep the Rush request coming.
See a doctor. He'll be okay.
I was really looking forward to talking to Geddy Lee the next time the Blue Jays made the playoffs. But
I've interviewed Geddy and... Oh my, I can't believe I'm gapping on his name.
Please tell me you're not thinking of Neil Peart.
No, not Neil. The guitar, what's...
I only know those two.
Someone's going to kill me.
Someone in our research department, known as our text line, will let you know.
Alex Lifeson. I've interviewed, and I told him, I said, I don't like your band. And he goes, oh, that's fine. I've heard that before.
Is that how you started the interview?
I told him.
Welcome in, guys. I hate you guys. Anyways, sit down. Let's chat.
I said, you've never been my taste in music. He goes, that's fine. He goes, here. You know what he said?
That's
he goes,
you opened the interview.
Yes. Yes. I wanted to be, and it turned out to be one of the better interviews I've had in a long time.
Because they're good people.
They're good people. I didn't say they weren't. They're fantastic musicians.
There you go.
Rest in peace, Neil Peart. It doesn't mean I like him. He goes, you know what he said to me? He goes, you're a blues fan, aren't you? And I went, yes. He goes, you like messy rock and roll. We're not messy rock and roll. We're technical. And I went, ding. There you go.
Messy rock and roll. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. A week today is game number one. Actually, it'll be just about to wrap up. A week right now is game one for Canada at the World Cup. The FIFA World Cup being hosted in the United States, of course, Mexico, and Canada. We're having an amazing debate behind the scenes on the...
Well, and I'm very interested to see if people care, because I think
people care. I think they care, but how much are you going to consume the World Cup is very interesting to me.
A friend of mine told me years ago, because we were having a conversation, as I'm like, I don't like soccer. I can't get into this at all. And he goes, I'll tell you what. He said, if you ever travel... If you ever go overseas, like go to Europe, he said, go to a soccer game. Because he did the backpacking thing out of high school, and him and a buddy, they went to Europe, got a train pass, and they went to a soccer game, and he became a massive fan, and he's still to this day a big Germany fan. That was the first game he went to. And I don't know what team it was, but a team in Germany. Anyway.
In the Bundesliga.
Probably. So... He got turned on by going to a match. He said there's nothing like it. He said he's never seen anything like it. And I've never, when Canada's playing, I will watch soccer. But I've never really understood the sport.
There's a few things I regret, but things I was like, When we were in England 2 years ago, the FA Cup final was Manchester City against Manchester United. Now, tickets to get into that were ridiculous. Just to get in price would have cost me hundreds of dollars.
So, like,
to get in there.
£200-300?
Yeah. Like, it was just to get in the door and sit in the nosebleeds way up there. But we were on the train when the fans left the building. We were going to, I forget what it's called. There's a Harry Potter, the studio where they shot Harry Potter. No, there was a big tour, and it was that night, and we just so happened that was the train stop when the soccer fans were getting on the train. And they were chanting there. I was like, whoo, this looks like a time right now. Like, that is... So, when the World Cup is on, I'm going to be following it the whole time.
I'll watch the Canadian games, for sure.
Where are you at, Saskatchewan, on the World Cup? Jamie and Locker with you here at the Green Zone on this Friday. That's for Sean on the text line, 1-877-332-8255. Wanted to hear a little Street Heart on this Friday, on All Request Friday. And we're getting ready for game two of the CFL season. Will it be as good as game one was last night? Went to overtime between the Montreal Alouettes and the Hamilton Tiger Cats. We had a few reminders last night on some of the rule changes. At one point, the ball bounced inbounds and then rolled out the side of the end zone. And there was a conversation about that it wasn't a rouge. And Luke Wilson and Dwayne Ford and Rod Smith were like, well, maybe that one should be a rouge if it lands.
Oh,
like,
stop in the, it!
Like it landed at the 10-yard line and then rolled into the end zone. I was like, I thought it was more, should be more for like missed field goals and stuff. And I'm like, stop it! Stop it!
Oh.
So we got reminded of that one. And now the new overtime format, of course. If it's tied after those two mini games, they go to the 2-point convert. That didn't happen last night, but that is part of no more ties. And they had a debate. Apparently, Dwayne Ford didn't mind ties.
And okay. The kicking off on the 30, like getting the ball on the 35, that has always been part of the overtime. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah.
So will it be as good tonight? The Winnipeg Blue Bombers against the Calgary Stampeders. To help us preview the CFL season, the Riders start, season, though, Taylor Shires enjoyed a week away from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. What did you think, Taylor, of this schedule when it came out that week C and week one for the Riders in the preseason and regular season were both bye weeks?
Yeah, I think like everybody else, kind of shocked, bizarre. Obviously, the team doesn't feel great about it. There shouldn't be that much time. I'm sure it wasn't an oversight. Like somebody would have had to look at it and say, "Oh, this team has a double bye week." I know that you know, preseason and regular season are obviously different schedules in a sense, but not ideal for this team for sure.
But how many rounds of golf?
Champions too. I think that.
Yeah. Yeah. How many rounds of golf did you get in though?
Several. Don't worry.
Got you covered. Yeah. Yeah. Taylor, we did this yesterday. Do you want to jump right into your Grey Cup predictions? We don't need to score or anything like that. Who's going to be in that final game?
Jeez. Let's just say it's going to be a rematch of last year.
That came in quite a few times, actually.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Montreal,
yeah.
Saskatchewan. Is it going to be a replay on the field, too?
Ooh. Yes.
You, Daryl?
With less of an injured hamstring of Davis Alexander, but...
I chuckled last night. Britt Dort, who, of course, covered the Riders for years at CTV, now gallivanting all over Canada as a sideline reporter on the CFL and TSN, asked Davis about the undefeated streak in the regular season. And even he was like, I lost the Grey Cup. I'm done talking about this, which is true. He is not undefeated overall. It is impressive, though, right? I know he lost the Grey Cup game, but to be 12-0 in regular season starts, Taylor, is
pretty wild.
Pretty impressive for Davis Alexander.
And pretty wild when you consider the time he's missed with injury. Okay, if you say the Alouettes should be 12-0 over that span, well, they're not because he's missed so much time with injury over those, you know, three or four games at a time almost. So I don't know what the Alouettes' overall record is during the last 2 years when he's actually started games, but it's not certainly not undefeated, right? Because those 12 games are over the span of, what, two years and a bit? But, I mean, impressive, right? And even last night that he was able to get it done in overtime. I don't know if they necessarily deserved to win the game. I think Dwayne Ford kind of alluded to that, as you mentioned, or even deserved, maybe Hamilton deserved a point, but Montreal, I mean, got it done and fumble and just some costly mistakes by the Tiger Cats, and, you know, that'll change the outcome of a game, and now you get 0 points in the standings.
Taylor, so you've got the Riders repeating, going back-to-back. We're not supposed to say that out loud, but...
We can say whatever we want.
I
just don't
so.
Say it around Corey Mace.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm curious, you've had a chance to look at this team probably more so than a lot of people just with your coverage with the leader post. I'm curious, what do you like about the Riders right now?
They have 16 players from last year's Grey Cup that aren't returning. And I look at all those, you know, 16 different players they haven't necessarily taken a massive step back in any one of those players that left. I feel like they got a couple of good defensive ends that are rookies to replace Baldonado and Kearney. That's not really a massive hole. Josh Woods is a great linebacker to replace A.J. Allen. That's not a really massive hole. When you have Trevor Harris, when you have A.J. Latt, all your offensive linemen, you have your three big receivers and KSB, MLS, and Keyshawn Johnson. You have all your big parts to last year. So I don't see this team worse than they were last year, even though they did lose 16 players. I don't know. I'm not going to say they're better. They're more experienced, obviously. But I think they are as strong as they were last year. So if you have won the Grey Cup and you didn't take a step back, how are you not the favorites? I think the BC Lions have taken a step ahead this year, and that'll be their biggest challenge. I think Winnipeg is due for a bit of a bounce back after what was kind of a strange year for them last year. So, like I said, I think Saskatchewan still makes it to the Grey Cup, likely still wins it because they're as good as they were last year and they have a little bit more experience. Is there that fire, though? Is there that desire and drive and all that, you know, those intangibles that we always talk about that you can't really measure? You can only just see in the outcome of a game. That is to be determined. But everything else on paper looks like this team is fully capable.
Taylor Shire joining us. Regina Leader Post has the Riders covered as we lead into the first weekend of the season. Then next week, it is the Riders' home opener against the BC Lions. And when it came down to the cuts last week, they did keep all four quarterbacks on the roster. Last week, we kind of talked about that's probably what they're going to do. And I think with the where they're at with Trevor Harris being 40 years old, I think it's better to have Braden Shager and Jack Cohn around just in case.
Is it that, though, or is it more concerned about Jack?
No, if the next guy, if Jack doesn't do it, at least you have another guy you can go, okay, now it's your turn.
That's what I think it is.
Rather than scrambling to find somebody.
Harris's age, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's more, I don't know what Jack has got here.
But, Taylor, how'd you feel about them keeping all four?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. I kind of figured that would be the case. And you can think about this year. You can think about next year as well. I don't know if Harris is going to come back next year, obviously. I don't think he knows at this point, so that's going to be a question that we'll ask at the end of the season. So if he doesn't come back, well, then who's your quarterback for next year? We have to start thinking about that. Do you go sign a free agent or sign somebody else? Or do you say, you know, Jack Cohn, you're going to get the chance to compete in training camp with Shager? And having those two guys with experience on the roster this year is just going to help for next year, right? And if you think about this year, I think that's maybe the one, and I wrote about it this week in the Leader Post, that's maybe one of the biggest weaknesses or the sort of the glaring weakness is the depth behind Harris. If he does go down with injury, obviously the Riders are no longer Grey Cup favorites, contenders even, because I don't think Jack Cohn and I don't think Braden Shager have the experience to lead this team back into the Grey Cup if Harris were to miss time. So not having Jake Mayer on the team, I think, does put them at a bit of a disadvantage. So that's sort of the one hold that they have. But everybody always talks about, you know, developing quarterbacks and, oh, how do you develop the next quarterback? I don't actually think you can develop the next quarterback in the CFL. I just think it happens through trial by fire. And if Jack Cohn, when and if he gets his opportunity, well, he's either going to sink or swim, and then the Riders will know if they have their next starter. If he sinks, then they're going to move on to the next one.
It is one of those roles on the team, right? Where
because playing time is so valuable.
Because find a team in any league, football, like that has 100% confidence in their backup. It just doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, but and even if you look in the NFL, you have some of the weaker teams, I guess, that maybe draft a quarterback or have a younger quarterback, and they go through the growing pains of that.
Yeah,
and they say, you know, in 2 or 3 years, you know, he gets a bunch of experience, gets some starts under his belt, he's going to be a good quarterback. Lots of quarterbacks have done that down south, but up here it's a little bit different because, like I said, that playing time is so valuable because every team is a contender in week one. Like, there's no team that you could say they won't win the Grey Cup, absolutely will not win this year. You can make a case for all 9 teams. Anything can happen. I know some teams are going to be favored over others, and that's true, but, you know, look at Montreal a couple of years ago, right? Nobody would have picked them to win the Grey Cup, and they did. You can make a case for Edmonton this year, even though they didn't finish great last year. Anything can happen, and that's why, again, I don't think you can just say, okay, we're going to take this year to rebuild, and Jack Cohn, you're going to be the starter, and we're going to go through, you're going to get 15 starts, and we'll see how you do for next year. Like, you can't do that. It's going to have to just be an instance where there's an injury, and you either play well or you don't, and you either are the starting quarterback next year or you maybe sign as a free agent next year. Drew Brown is a perfect example of that, right? Sink or swim. Well, he was, I mean, strange that he's not the starter this year, but he went to Ottawa from Winnipeg after him, you know, sort of being that next guy in Winnipeg, right? And that's kind of what you need. That's sort of how you find that next guy or develop that next guy.
It's a, when you go around the history of this league, nobody knew who the heck Ricky Ray was when he came up to Canada. Then Jason Moss gets hurt, and oh my goodness.
Who's this kid?
Who's Darian Durant?
Exactly.
You wait till Stephen Giles struggles and Marcus Crandall get hurt, and you go, wow, who's Bo Levi Mitchell? Well, you had to wait for Dave Dickinson and a few others to you know, go down until, who's this guy all of a sudden? So you never know what you got until they put it on until the lights are on and you see what you actually have. But before we let you go, Taylor, we're very curious with this question. Letters to the editor. How many of them have been filled up with rule changes and broadcasting rights from CFL fans at the Leader Post?
All of them.
All of them?
You know what? And I sort of side with some of the letters too, because there are a lot of certain things that I don't like about the rule changes. At this point, I think everybody is sort of past that. Wait till next year when they actually are implemented, like the bigger ones, and we start seeing the different fields and whatnot. The broadcast, I think people deserve a bit of a chance to gripe a little bit, because it's adding something that they don't have. I don't know.
I sympathize with it.
And we're not, you know, it's not what it used to be. Like I said earlier, I think I said on our podcast this week, you know, there's no blackouts. You know, we're not introducing the blackouts. The games are still going to be available. You might have to pay a little bit more, but still get a chance to watch it from your couch if you don't want to go to the game. So, yeah, I'm not going to complain too much, but I'll read everybody that sends in an editorial letter to us.
And
feel for them.
I do. I sympathize for the extra cost, especially with the economy we're at today with gas prices and everything. Like, it is, it's like, oh.
Everyone's in our pocket.
We all do it. I know you do it at home, Taylor. I do it. Locker, you do it. We all do it. Another thing happens, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's another $40. It's another this. It's just exhausting. And that's where a lot of people are exhausted. And I understand it. But when you see how much money that's bringing into the Canadian Football League, you got to understand where the CFL is at
that's,
it as well.
That's the one thing that we're seeing on our end, Taylor, just the conversation about what this means for the CFL. I think there's this underlying thought that this latest deal is actually the death knell, you know, the end of this. And I'm like, I don't understand how you got there. And we'll get a text as soon as we get off the phone with you. Like, it'll be like, that's it. People aren't going to stop going to the games. I don't know. These leagues, man, they are thriving on these television deals.
I will add one thing. I think there's and I'm sure this conversation was had, but if you make your product more accessible to more people, will that not grow the game? The WHL did that with Victory Plus. They introduced the streaming service. All their games are for free, strictly for the fact to get more eyeballs on your product. The CFL is almost doing the opposite, where they're going to a different platform and going to charge money to pay for that. So everybody that's already watched the games and gotten to the routines, not for free, because you still have to have cable or TSN, but you're now adding something and not doing sort of the opposite of the WHL. You're adding a streaming platform, but offering it for free.
But you're adding it to a platform that has millions of subscribers.
Yes, and who knows how many of those people who subscribe for soccer or NFL will check out the CFL. So, yes, there's that. And I'm sure that conversation was had where you introduce those people to the CFL game organically through your app or through your streaming service. So, I'm not a marketing expert necessarily, but I'm sure those conversations, or at least they should have happened in terms of, how do we grow the game? How do we generate revenue? What are the pros and cons? What are the, you know, because there has to be give and take, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's always not going to give you how many million dollars and then say, oh, the product's free. Can't do that. So
nope. Yeah. So, but who? Maybe we're get a 10th team in Quebec City sooner rather than later. But Taylor, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks so much. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Tanner. Awesome.
Thanks for the call.
That is Taylor Shire, Regina Leader Post. You can check out he and Daryl Davis also do a Rider Rumblings podcast as well. Coming up next, I hope Murray Wood's listening on this day in sports on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. This day in sports history. Oh, I really hope Murray's listening today. On this day, June the 5th, Game 6, Stanley Cup Final 2004.
Zabrinkin with some speed, looking to go wide. He beats one man. Zabrinkin has to come in. Look, it was kicked toward the net. Avi Bolin somehow made the save. I'm not sure that would have counted. It certainly would have been reviewed.
Now, the last chance that Calgary had, which was close. Let's take a look again. This was on the replay, and the second chance, did the puck actually cross the line? That was a question mark, and that would have been reviewed.
Oh, wow. That looks like it's in.
Yeah, it did.
That looks like it was in.
It was in.
Marty Jelena goes off his skate, and did it go in? It'll be debated forever. By the way, that game, the Flames could have won the Stanley Cup that night in Calgary. It went to double overtime.
Here's a shot from the point by Taylor. Rebound, chance, score! On St. Louis! There will be a Game 7 on Monday night in Tampa, Florida.
And on Monday night in Tampa, Florida, a few nights later, the Tampa Bay Lightning beat the Calgary Flames in Game 7.
Yes, they did.
The Stanley Cup.